O Lord, our God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you have spoken to us so clearly, so tenderly, so powerfully. So Lord Jesus, we pray that you may come and preach to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray that you may unstop our ears, that we may hear you speaking to us. Sway the will of those who are undecided. Give life to those who are dead. Warm us with your love. Show us the loving kindness and the tender mercy of the triune God. O Lord, come. Speak to us, we pray. May we listen. May we believe. May we obey. May we rejoice. All for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now let us turn to John's Gospel, chapter 5. You'll recall we've been opening up this chapter, and you may recall that before us in this chapter is the profoundest teaching on God, the Holy Trinity. And this morning we're going to look at spiritual resurrection given by Christ. John chapter 5, verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. And verse 24 literally goes like this: Amen, amen, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Oh, dear friend, it is of great profit to us if we learn to read the Bible slowly and loudly, at home by ourselves, not in a public square, especially in such a time. And for a passage like this before us, it is so important that we really go slow. Like you are listening to classical music. And then you read distinctly, clearly, loudly, in a meditative mood, and try to get much out of it. Now the passage here before us tells us, Jesus, as the Son of God, he gives life. He raises the dead. He brings about the spiritual resurrection. Look at it. In verse 21, as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. And then verse 24, are those who believe, who hear Christ and believe in him, they have passed from death into life. So there is a spiritual resurrection. Now, of course, for that to happen, it presumed that there was a spiritual deadness. You understand, resurrection is a rising from the dead. So if someone is not dead already, you can't talk about resurrection. So this morning, first of all, we're going to look at what the Bible teaches us about spiritual deadness. Now, this is very humbling, isn't it? But the Bible does tell us that naturally, we are born dead, spiritually speaking. This is our natural congenital condition, born dead in arrival. Now, how horrible this will be for a woman to bear a child, to give birth, and the child is born dead. I don't know about all of you. Does anyone have that sort of terrible experience? You give birth to a dead child. You personally. Oh, yeah. Talk to our sister Millie after church. It's a terrible experience, isn't it? But spiritually, every human person who is born physically alive is born spiritually dead. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, about believers. You were dead in trespasses and sins. And you once walked according to the course of this world. Dear friends, this is our natural condition. We are born dead in trespasses and sins. And we tend to live according to the fashion in the world. Whatever is the fashion in the world, we tend to follow by nature. By nature, we're not going to ask, well, how does God want me to live? But rather, how does the world behave? I want to be fashionable. I want to be up to date. I want to be cool. By nature, we don't say, I want to be godly. I want to be biblical. I want to be cool. The Bible tells us we are not only born spiritually sick, but spiritually deaf. We willfully will not listen to God's word. And we are spiritually blind, willfully not willing to see. And spiritually dead. Now, just now we heard Ezekiel chapter 37. Isn't this a weird passage? The prophet Ezekiel, he had the misfortune to go as an exile to Babylon, and there God gave him many visions. Among one of them was that he was brought by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley. And this valley was full of bones, human bones, and dry bones, very dry. And Ezekiel was led to have a look around, and he walked around this valley, an open valley, and there were many dry bones. And God told him, "You preach to these bones." Preaching the bones. Imagine preaching in a cemetery. I remember as a child, I heard of this story. Near our home church in Kowloon City was a cemetery. And some of the young people said, well, let's go to the cemetery and have a prayer meeting in the middle of the night. Well, that is not the sort of thing you should do. But you know, young people being young people, they would like to adventure, and let's go there in the middle of the night to have a prayer meeting. So all close your eyes, okay. That was actually very naughty, to say the least. But Ezekiel was led to this place. And he was told to preach to the bones. What could he do but to preach? And what happened? As he preached, there was a noise. And then bone came to bones. Bones stuck together. And then flesh was given them. But there were still just bodies, not just bones now. And then Ezekiel was asked to preach again. And what happened? Breath came to these corpses, and they all stood up and became a mighty army of God. Now understand, this is a prophecy and a vision. God is saying that one day He is going to give life to His people, spiritual life. But who can make these dry bones live except God alone? That's the point. Only God can give life to the dead. And in John chapter 5, our Lord Jesus is claiming to have that divine prerogative. As the Father raises the dead and gives life to the dead, so the Son will do likewise. So we have covered spiritual deadness. Let's move on of what our Lord Jesus tells us about the hearing of faith. He has claimed to have the divine power to give life to the dead as the Son of God, because He's life Himself, or life itself. Look at verse 21 in John chapter 5. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. Now don't miss that. Jesus is claiming here to have all the power of God the Father. And in verse 26, for as the Father has life in Himself, so has granted the Son to have life in Himself. Now, this is a most amazing and profound statement. God be willing, we shall look at this next week. In verse 26, Jesus said, just as the Father has life in Himself, God the Father has life in Himself. So, and God the Father has given the Son to have life in Himself. So life is in Christ. And whether it is spiritual life or physical life, and later on Jesus is going to talk about the physical resurrection at the end time. But this morning, we'll look at spiritual resurrection. Only God can raise the dead and give life. And if Jesus can raise the dead and give life, that means He's God. Now back to verse 25. Literally it goes like this. Amen, amen, I say to you. You understand what amen means. Assuredly, in King James, verily, or truly, truly, in other translations, Jesus is here saying to them, most solemnly, amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming. The time is coming. And now is. The time has arrived when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So Jesus is here announcing something new will happen, and it is happening. He says, now is the time, now is the hour, when the dead, you understand this is spiritually dead, The spiritually dead people, they will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear the voice of the Son of God will live. So there were the spiritually dead, but now they are going to hear the voice of the Son of God. They are going to hear the voice of Christ, and in hearing, they will come to life spiritually. Now let us unpack this and try to understand more. The voice of the Son of God, what's that? We don't have a recording of the voice of Jesus. We don't have that. And that's for a good reason. What do we have? Is the preaching of Christ. The message about Christ. What Jesus has done and taught and accomplished. It is in the preaching of Christ that we hear the voice of the Son of God. So we learn here, the message is most vital and important. I can be here this morning. I can be preaching. I can be preaching eloquently, which I cannot do. I can have the most beautiful voice, which I don't have. But what is important is not the voice of the preacher or how he can speak. It's the message. What is the message? I can be here tell you nice stories, wonderful experience, anecdotes. But all those things do not count. The message must be about Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah. It must be the preaching of Christ. It must be the voice of Christ. And then, it must not just be the preaching of Christ, there must be the hearing of faith. I can be preaching Christ, but unless you hear Christ speaking to you by faith, it will not profit you. Look at verse 24. Amen, amen, I say to you. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. The double affirmative. Truly, truly, I say to you. He who hears my word, he who hears my teaching, my message, and believes in him who sent me, is believing in God the Father who sent Christ, has eternal life. The hearing of faith, my dear friend, is not just learning some information, some sort of intellectual knowledge. This morning, I should give you a lecture on COVID and how it spreads. That will interest you, isn't it? Because we are living in a global pandemic. And then, if I should go to a ward full of COVID patients, and I should give them a lecture, I say to them, well, by the way, I come from Oxford, and I give you a piece of good news. There's actually a medicine that you can take and cure you of your illness. And you got COVID. You heard that. And you say, well, how can I get there? And I tell you, well, you could pay $1,000. US, okay, US, okay, $1,000. Now, will you buy that lesson? Well, don't be so quick to buy it. You must make sure this is true, isn't it? Yeah. But if you have COVID and you believe that I'm telling the truth, and I will have those credentials and so on, you are going to pay that money, won't you? Won't you? You're not going to say, well, unless it's covered by Medicare, I'm not going to buy it. You'll be stupid to say that, right? You say, whether it's covered or not covered, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to leave. Now get the point. But if I don't have COVID, you're selling me this message, I'm going to say to you, well, that sounds very exciting, but I'm not going to pay $1,000 for that. That's of no use to me. Now, friends, this is just like hearing of Christ. You hear the message of the gospel. You hear that God is love, and in the love of the Father, He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. You hear the message that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the wicked. He died for sinners. And by believing in Christ, you shall live. You shall be pardoned. You shall be accepted by God. And dear friends, if you feel that you are a helpless and hopeless sinner, if you are convinced of the reality of eternal condemnation apart from Christ, you will believe in Jesus with interest, with desire. But if, suppose you say, well, yeah, I heard of the love of God, the love of Christ on the cross, His death and suffering for sinners. Yeah, I think that's true. I think, well, I must be a sinner because everyone is a sinner. But you don't feel deeply. That will not really interest you. That is a piece of sound information. You may believe that is true, but that has nothing much to do with you. The hearing of faith is the hearing of sinners who feel that they are hopeless and helpless by themselves. And they cannot change themselves. They cannot make themselves to be accepted by God, and they heard this good news from God about Christ, and they heard it with interest, with thankfulness, with desire. Now, friends, I would like to stop here and ask you, each one of you, have you got that sort of hearing of faith when you hear the voice of Christ? This morning, as you hear of Christ, does it interest you? Is it a mere theory? Now, I don't care whether you are 100 or whether you are 5 years old. It's equally important. You may be a child. You can understand this. You may be a church member for many years. It's still important to you. How do you stand in relation to the Savior? Christ came as the Savior of sinners. Do you feel you need the Savior? Or do you feel this is, well, yes, I know that. How do you stand? We move on. The hearing of faith or the hearing of faith in Christ is a commitment to Jesus as my Lord. The Bible does not allow us to take Jesus as my Savior, and I do not submit to Christ to be my Lord. There's no such a deal. No, it's not in the Bible at all. You can't say, well, I will take Jesus as my Savior, but I will go on living as I like to live. There's no such a deal. We must take Christ, the whole Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And actually, when you look at the Bible carefully, it's always Lord and Savior. You say, when you're hearing of faith, I belong to Jesus. Christ is my Lord and my God. Is that true of you? Have you really taken Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Is it a great news to you when you hear in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, that God justified those who believe in Jesus? And those who believe in Jesus are those who are ungodly. The phrase goes like this: believed on him who justifies the ungodly. The hearing of faith. And actually, to put this abundantly clear, you know how the Bible put it? It is that we hear Christ, the voice of the Son of God, when we hear the preaching of God's word. In one of the Reformed Catechism, the Helvetica Confession, it has a saying like this: the preaching of God's word is God's word. Is it right? The preaching of God's word is God's word. You may think, wow, this is elevate preaching to a place it should not be. Is the preaching of God's word the word of God? The answer is yes. When the preacher is truly preaching God's word, it is God's word. Now, I'll give you some proof. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. And you need to do some thinking, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Now, Paul is here speaking or writing to the believers in Ephesus. And he says, Christ came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. So Paul says to the believers in Ephesus, Christ came and he preached to you in Ephesus. When did Jesus go to Ephesus and preach to them? When? Did Jesus leave Palestine and went to Ephesus, the capital city of the province of Asia, and preached the gospel to these idol worshippers in the 3 years of the ministry? Did Jesus ever venture out of Palestine? Yes or no? No. So how did Jesus go to preach to the people in Ephesus who were worshipping idols, who were immoral and so on and so forth, and they became Christian? How did Jesus go and preach to them? And when did Jesus go and preach to them? Well, the answer is when Paul went there, when his fellow missionaries went to Ephesus, when ministers of the gospel went to Ephesus, when they preached Christ, it's Christ preaching to them. One more passage. You're still in Ephesians. Now please look at them, because this is so fascinating. When you ponder upon them, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. In verse 20, he says, you have not so learned Christ. That means you have learned Christ, but not in that ungodly way. In verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So the same idea. You people in Ephesus, you have heard Christ. You have learned Christ. You have been taught by Christ. How? Through the hearing of the preaching of the word, the gospel. So, friends, it's the hearing of faith. Christ this morning is preaching to you through the preaching of his word. And this morning, if you hear Christ's voice, you receive it by faith. You're hearing the very voice of the Son of God, and you are asked to hear with faith, believing that the Father has sent Christ. Okay, we put all these things together. We come to our third major heading, the assurance of life. Verse 24, John chapter 5. Now, please look at it. This is so important. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, Amen, Amen, I say to you. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Stop there. Now, whole verse 24, in your mind, with your eyes fixed on this text, and then see how that relates to yourself this morning. What does it mean? With verse 25 in my mind, and my eyes are fixed upon them, and this morning, I do feel that I'm a helpless and hopeless sinner apart from Christ. And I do believe that God the Father has sent Jesus into the world to die for sinners and rose again. I do believe Jesus is the very Son of God and Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Now, what if I do say that wholeheartedly? I trust quite a number of you do say that wholeheartedly. What does it mean? Read verse 24. What does it mean? Amen, amen, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. You have, my dear friend, eternal life. If this morning you feel you're a hopeless and helpless sinner, you believe God the Father sent his own Son into the world, you're resting and trusting in Christ, Jesus says here, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. And in case we miss it, it goes on to elaborate on it. It says, and you shall not come into judgment. Yes, you have eternal life, and you shall not come into judgment. And in case we don't get it yet, he says it again in a different way. It's like hitting a nail. Not just one goal, three goals. You have passed from death into life. Dear friend, this morning you have heard the voice of Jesus in the preaching of God's word. You believe in God the Father who sent the Son. You rest your souls as a hopeless, helpless sinner in Jesus as your Savior. You have made the passage from death into life. Remember, we began by talking about our natural, congenital, spiritual deadness. I hope that does not offend you. Even if it does, I make no apology, because it's God's word. That is our natural condition. But when we believe in Jesus, when we believe God has sent Christ, Jesus says, you have passed from death to life. You have made that passage. You have spanned that great divide. You have been pulled out from the grave. Not just pulled out, but life has been given you. You have made that great transition. Not transition, but, well, there's no transition from death to life. But you have. Do you get it? What assurance this is. What courage we can have in Christ. Now, in case you have not got it completely, I would like you to notice the tense there. Has passed from death to life, or from death into life. It is the what tense, as we can read here in English. It's the perfect tense, right? Remember your perfect tense back in school? Now I'm going to teach you something new. In the ancient Greek perfect tense, it means, listen carefully, event happened, effect remains. I'll say that again. The Greek perfect tense means something happened, its effect remains. I say that again, event happened. Effect remains. You have passed from death to life. It happened already. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul talks about spiritual resurrection also. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 5, Paul says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, make us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raise us up together, and make us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You heard it? God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, when we were dead in trespasses, God make us alive together with Christ, and raise us together with Christ, and make us sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. That's why the resurrection of Christ is so exciting and important to us who believe in him. Because Christ arose, I'm raised. Christ raised back to life, I'm raised to spiritual life. Christ raised up to heaven, I've been raised together with him up to heaven. I am now finally alive. Or as John says, or as Jesus said in John chapter 3, I've been born from above. Not just born again, but born from above. I've been born of the Spirit. And I shall never be the same again. In Romans chapter 6, my former self has died. My old self has died. My old man has been crucified with Christ, and the body of sin has been done away with. Or as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've entered into a new world. I'm a new creature. And I have eternal life. Now back to John chapter 5, verse 24. I want you to get this. Amen, amen, I say to you. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. Question. If one has eternal life, can he or she lose it? Okay? If one has eternal life, can he or she lose it? Is it possible for someone to have eternal life and lose it? Think logically. It's impossible, isn't it? By definition, eternal life is eternal. If I have eternal life, I cannot lose eternal life. Otherwise, I don't have eternal life. Does it make sense to you? Simple logic tells us that. One cannot lose eternal life if one has it. Well, thankfully, we don't just have logic to go by. We have Jesus' words to go by. Go to John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. If you are Jesus' sheep, you'll hear his voice. And Jesus says, I know them and they follow me. And verse 28, John chapter 10. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, John chapter 10. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. How many times I lost count? Jesus emphasizes that. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me, and I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand or my Father's hand. My dear friends, isn't this exciting? Isn't this comforting? Isn't this most encouraging? Eternal life is a present possession right now in this life. I believe in Jesus. I don't have to wait until I die and pass through the door of death and see whether I make it or not. I don't need to wonder. Well, I just don't know. Well, I try my best, hope my best, and hopefully I get there, but who knows? Maybe I will sleep. Maybe I'll be snatched out. No, friends. The word of the Lord Jesus is so clear. This morning, if you have heard the voice of the Son of God, you have believed in the Father who sent the Son, and you throw your soul upon Jesus, and you follow Christ, you have eternal life. Right now. And you're not going to lose it. And no one is going to be able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. But then you may like to ask me, but I still have struggles with temptations and sins. I'm not what I ought to be. I still fall far short of God's holy standard. But I ask you, friends, see whether you can answer this question in the affirmative. Do you believe in God who sent Jesus, his Son, to be your Savior? Do you believe? And do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to be holy as God is holy? Do you want to be in and in with Jesus and out for your Lord despite your repeated sins and failures? Do you? If you answer yes to those questions, the conflict and the struggles in your soul, in your heart, should rather encourage you, because conflict and struggles are signs of life. But then, before I finish, I also need to warn you, at least some of you, if you have no conflict, no struggle, precious little desire for the Lord, if your Christianity is nice and easy, you are a fair weather Christian, and the weather is well, you go along. Friends, you need to have life in Jesus. You need to be born from above. You need to hear Jesus with faith in Him. And listen, only Jesus can give life. You realize you can't give yourself spiritual resurrection. You realize you can't change yourself. You realize you cannot make yourself more acceptable to God. Only Christ can give life. And I will counsel you, as I do every day, almost every moment. I go to Jesus and I ask Him, Lord, give me life. Make me alive. Give me yourself. And friends, I know God is gracious. We are not going to seek Him in vain. He is not going to cast us out. Remember what Jesus says. He who comes to me, I will never ever cast out. He is honest. He is faithful. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we pray that you may speak to us in your still, small voice and give us faith that we may receive you in confidence. O God, we are weak. We have been baffled with many temptations. We have been shamed by many failings. But you remain faithful. Oh, give us grace to lay hold upon Christ, to hold on to Him. And yes, O God, do not let us go, for your grip on us is far greater than our grip on you. Grant that we may hear Christ with faith. In His name we pray.